Right, so welcome back, and now you are in day three. More accurately, it may be phase three for you, because you may be, it may be that you extended day two, the low-carb part of this diet, for more than a day. And later we'll talk about how you can play around with the links of the various different phases. But my preference is, again, that you just do a day of each phase of this diet, so it's a total of 3 days, until after you've gone through the process at least two or three times. All right, so day three. In summary, you have, up to this point, you went 24 hours, beginning with the evening meal. You made evening, let's say you started on a Friday. You made the evening meal your last meal. You had no calories for 24 hours. Then, when it was time, at the same time you had the evening meal on Friday, on Saturday, 24 hours later, you began to eat calories again using a low-carb, protein-sparing diet. Still allowing yourself to have as much as you want of what's on the plan. Now, it is true that if you just really, really eat a lot of protein, you can bring yourself out of ketosis. And Dr. Atkins talks about that in his book. You should read his book, Study the Induction Phase. But study the induction phase, but it takes a lot of protein, and most people will fill up before they get to that. But you will do better if you spread it out, eat frequently, do low carb, as Atkins explains in his book. Now, at the end of those 24 hours, now you're 48 hours into it, and you're starting the third day, but it's in the evening. So if you started on Friday, now you're on Sunday evening, and you went from Saturday evening to Sunday evening doing low carb. I know that's redundant, but it gets confusing, so I wanted to go over it again to let you know where you are and how it works out. Now, here you are, Sunday evening, or the beginning of the, it's at the 48th hour, and you're starting day three. At this point, you may be craving some carbohydrates. You will maybe even have cravings during the other 24 hours that you're doing low carb, but you've dealt with it the way we've talked about. Now, as you go into day three, you're going to change to a different strategy where you allow yourself carbohydrates, but they have to be in the form of fresh fruits and vegetables. Now, here's the amazing part of this. Because of the sheer volume, you're still going to be getting low calorie. So let me prove that to you. Let's take a high-calorie fruit like a banana. And let's do the math. And let's say that you're a 120-pound woman who's trying to lose a couple of pounds to fit into your bathing suit. Now, first of all, let me digress a minute. A couple of pounds, you think, no big deal. But let's think about what 2 pounds of fat looks like. A pound of lead is not that large. A pound of feathers is pretty big. So the size of something is based upon its density. And that's a chemical physics term that you don't really have to think about. You just know that a pound of lead is smaller than a pound of styrofoam. A pound of fat, to visualize how much that is, think about what a pound of butter looks like. That's 4 sticks of butter. So it may not make a big change in a 300-pound football player. But if you're a 120-pound woman, taking 4 sticks of butter off your midsection, if that's where you've stored most of your extra fat, can make a huge difference. So when people say, well, I only lost 2 pounds, you just lost 2 1-pound boxes or 8 sticks of butter off your body if you just lost 2 pounds, which can make a huge difference. All right, so back to this strategy of swapping over and how it's okay to eat all the fruits and vegetables you want. Let's imagine you're a 120-pound woman. And I say, you can have all the bananas you want, but that's all you can have, just bananas. How many would you have to eat to keep from losing weight? Let's do the calculations. It takes 11 calories per pound per day to keep your weight the same. So if you multiply 120 times 11, you get about 1,300 calories, a little bit more, 1,300 calories. That's assuming you don't do any exercise. You just sit around the house and you weigh 120 pounds. All right. So how many bananas would you have to eat to keep from losing weight? A banana has 80 calories in it. So what's 1,300 divided by 80? Get your calculator out and divide that out. 13, and I want you to do it if you have a calculator. I'm going to give you a second because I want you to see it. It's more dramatic. 1,300 divided by 80. Do you have your calculator? I want it out, okay, because you need to see this. Instead of hearing me say it, and you want, it won't register. Well, if you did what I asked you to do and you divided 1,300 divided by 80, that means you'd have to eat 16 bananas to keep from losing weight. So if you slept 8 hours, that means you'd have to eat a banana every waking hour to keep from losing weight if you weighed 120 pounds. I think you can see that is a lot of bananas. Imagine what the size of 16 bananas looks like sitting on a table. Average bunch of bananas might have 4 or 5 bananas in it. So picture 4 bunches of bananas piled up in a gigantic bowl and me telling you have to eat that during the day. You can't do it. You will vomit. So day 3 is about swapping to carbohydrates combined with protein. So you're essentially going to go vegetarian. You're coming off of Atkins. You're not going to allow yourself any meat. The strategy in day 3 is this. If I limit your foods to only foods, listen very carefully, because this comes close to what your maintenance was going to be. If you allow yourself only foods that I know you cannot eat enough of them to keep from losing weight, like a banana. If you just weighed 130 pounds, now you have to eat 18 bananas in a day, right? To keep from losing weight. You can't eat 18 bananas in a day. So if, especially if you're a 120-pound woman, maybe you can if you're a 300-pound man, but now you're going to have to eat somewhere around 40 bananas in a day. So you'd have to be eating a banana about every 20 minutes of your waking day. It'd be like some crazy contest. You can't do it. All right, so this is what happens when people have gastric bypass surgery. They fill up before they get too many calories. Now, if I give you one muffin to eat, just hang with me. If I give you one muffin, if you go down to Starbucks and you get a muffin, you're going to have about 700 calories. If you have one piece of chocolate cake, about 750 calories. To get that same number of calories in corn, let's pick another high-calorie vegetable. Let's get off of fruit and just think of the high-calorie vegetable. It's amazing to me how many diabetics have been taught to be afraid of food. Food is not going to kill you. Don't be afraid of food. It's not your enemy. What your enemy is man-made, highly concentrated foods that will make you fat and give you diabetes and heart attacks and kill you. I love one of Jack LaLanne's quotes. He says, if it tastes good, spit it out. And if man made it, spit it out. And you got to listen to a guy that's 90-something years old and still has a good physique. But back to this fruit idea and vegetable idea. To get that same number of calories, you would have to have 5.5 cups of corn. All right, so picture on your plate one muffin. Now picture in a bowl 5.5 cups of corn. Now, I don't know about you, but I can eat 2 muffins with a glass of milk. Or let's just say you eat 1 muffin with a glass of milk. But most people can handle 2 muffins or 2 pieces of cake after supper. But what if I said you had to eat 11 cups of corn after supper? you would vomit first. So even with the high calorie, it takes something like 15 tomatoes to equal one muffin. So, and you would almost be 10 bananas. Remember, a banana is 80 calories. So picture 10 bananas, or just 9 bananas if it's a 700-calorie muffin. 9 bananas versus one muffin. Can you eat 9 bananas after supper? But you can eat a muffin. So the idea is, if you're eating foods that fill you up before you get too many calories, you will kill your appetite. So guess what your best appetite suppressant drug is? God made it. It's fruits and vegetables. And you will fill up if that's all you have. So remember my analogy? If you're eating fruits and vegetables, you're on the track, and you can eat as much as you want, anytime you want. And I know you're not going to gain weight because you're going to fill up before you get too many calories. Yeah, you're going to get more calories than you did on your fasting day, on day one of the 3-day fat burn. But you're still going to get fewer calories than you need. So this strategy, if all you have is fruits and vegetables and low-calorie protein. So that's what you get on day 3. Now, what this strategy does, here's the trick that this 3-day fat burn allows you to do. Remember, I didn't think up low carb. I don't take credit for that. I didn't think of fasting. It's been around for thousands of years. What I'm teaching you here, though, what's new about this that you've never heard, because I've never heard it, I thought this up, is this cycling like this from fasting to low carb to vegetarian. Supplementing a vegetarian day with protein. And what that allows you to do is, even if you do feel like binging, you can walk low carb as many people do. I now know that if you have your drink, so no fruit juices, even though I'm allowing fruit on day 3. On day 3, you can have any fruit and vegetable, but no fruit juices and no dried fruit. Why? Because, again, you can drink enough fruit juice to make yourself gain weight. It's got the same caloric content as a Coke or a glass of wine. No alcohol during this. And if it's really hard for you to go 3 days without alcohol, you need to sit down and ask one of your closest relatives if they think you have an alcohol problem, because we're talking about how to make yourself very healthy. And if it's a big deal for you to go 3 days without alcohol, I'm worried about you. All right, so back to the what you can have. You get 3 things. You get all the fruits and vegetables you want of any kind, unless it's fruit, unless it's dried fruit or fruit juice. Now, Raquel Welch was popular when I was a young man, and I remember reading one of her diet tips. She was essentially vegetarian. I don't know what she does now, but she was vegetarian, and she drank very dilute fruit juices. So when I say very dilute, I mean you have a glass of water, and you have, it's almost like squeezing a lemon. You have a tablespoon of orange juice or something of that nature, just enough to add flavor. But as far as juicing, there's a place for that, but this is not the time for that. You're not using your juicer to make vegetable juice and fruit juice and drink it. You're eating it. And the reason I insist on that is if you start drinking juice or eating dried fruits, I know that you can eat enough to gain weight. But on the other hand, you can have grapes, all these things that they tell you not to have if you're diabetic. That's bull. I'm sorry, but that's just bull. I've gotten plenty of people off their diabetes medicine eating all the bananas they want. It's bread and pasta and sweets and drinks and meat at the same time you're eating those things, not when you're in low carb. So if you combine the meat with the vegetables, you're not low carb now. You're not in ketosis. So you're going to gain weight. This is a different ball game now. So you're going from having an all-meat day, and usually people get sort of tired of the protein, most people, when they do low carb. So just when you get tired of low carb, whether that's for you day one or day two or three, and you're ready to have some vegetables, guess what? You get to do that, and you don't have to eat any meat. I don't want you having any meat. So now here's where you get your protein, and I've lived vegetarian. There are plenty of overweight vegetarians, but they're not overweight from the vegetables. They're overweight. What vegetarians will do is when they don't get enough protein, they'll crave food and they'll eat carbohydrates. So they'll have bread and pasta and sweets and drinks with that are sweet. And you can get fat on that stuff. So there are plenty of overweight vegetarians. But they're doing it on the bread. So on day three, no bread, no meat, no pasta, no drinks with calories. What you can have, though, is 24 hours, any time of the day or night, any vegetable or fruit. You can have corn, grapes, oranges, all the high-calorie vegetables, the potatoes. It's okay. Yes, you can have a potato. You can have a sweet potato. No potato chips. Remember Jack LaLanne's philosophy. I don't know what tree potato chips grow on, but people make that. So spit it out and cook a potato, and that's okay. Get butter buds or a little dash of salsa for your potato, or put other vegetables on it. Beans, yes, you can have beans all you want. Lima beans, I don't care. English peas. All that stuff, it will make you, if you figure out how many English peas you'd have to eat to keep from losing weight, it's a truck full. So have all that you want and put that on your potatoes. So you can have beans on your potato or cook you some broccoli or whatever. Put that up there with little butter buds and you'll have a great meal. So, but what I was getting at is if that's all you have, you may still not feel quite right. So you supplement the fruits and vegetables with protein, but you get your protein from protein shakes. Now, if you want to really find out how wonderful protein shakes are, this is what you do. You go to your gym and you find the healthiest looking people you can find that are over 30 years old and ask them how they eat. And without I shouldn't say without exception. I'm sure there are exceptions. But my bet is that almost everybody, if not everybody you talk to, who looks exceptionally healthy over the age of 30, has a blender that they are using frequently to make protein shakes. Because here's the problem. You have to fight fire with fire. All right, so back, we'll get to the fire with fire thing in a minute. Let's get back to what you're allowed. You're allowed protein and a protein shake. You're allowed fruits and you're allowed vegetables. You don't have to have fruit if you like vegetables. You don't have to have vegetables if you like fruit. But you got to eat something. And if you don't like either one, then I don't know. Maybe you will after you've gone without eating and gone with this cycle. But there are some people that are just so picky, I just can't help them. You know, they don't like the protein shakes. They don't like fruits. They don't like vegetables. They like meat and potato chips. And, you know, here's the other thing that may surprise you, but it's true. If you think about it, it may not surprise you. The bigger the person, the pickier the eater. The people that I know that are very healthy and have six packs when they're 50 years old, they will go out and eat gravel off the street if you tell them that's going to make them healthy. They're like Jack LaLanne. Jack LaLanne says, if it tastes good, spit it out. Food becomes not about pleasing your stomach and your tongue. It becomes about what you can do to make your body healthy and your brain function so that you can go about your day and take care of your family and have fun and have sex and read a book. So back to this idea about what you're doing. You get protein powders. And I'm going to tell you what to do with those in a minute. And you're going to go start asking people that are very healthy, what are you doing? Are you using a blender? Now, here's why most of them will tell you yes. If you lived in the jungle or you lived in rural America in 1860, we wouldn't even need to have this conversation because you would be walking 3 to 5 miles a day just to get your business done. And there would be no fast food around. You would be more about how to just keep your family from starving. And what you would have is fresh fruits and vegetables or what you stored in some way. There wouldn't be enough sweets around to make you overweight. And that's what you see when you go to third world countries that are still on an agricultural basis. There was a book, and not even just third world countries, there was a book written, Why French Women Don't Get Fat. And you could summarize most of that book in one sentence that was in that book, in that they don't drive cars everywhere they go. Their culture demands that they walk a lot, which kills their appetite, and there's lots of fresh food around, vegetables and fruits. It's a different kind of culture than in America that's based upon the automobile, where you basically live in a box. You live in a box of your house, you work in the box of your building, and you drive around in a box. So unless you make a concerted effort, there's really very little movement of your legs, and food is put in front of you in a way that is quickly consumed. So how hard is it for you to get 700 calories? You just reach out and you grab a muffin or you grab candy out of a dish or you open the refrigerator door. But how hard is it for you to get something that's healthy? Most people, it involves stopping and cooking and preparing food. All right, that's fine and it's wonderful if you have the opportunity. In my family, we try to do that for the evening meal. But it may not happen at any other time during the day. So what do? It's so easy to grab the fast foods. So how do you make a fast food that makes you healthy? That's where the blender comes in. Tell me another way that I can design a food that has fresh fruit, because that's what you're going to put in it, protein, fills you up, and you can prepare it and consume it in less than 3 minutes. That's a fast food. So when you use your blender, you're fighting fire with fire. You're preparing a fast food that tastes like a dessert when you get the hang of it. So not only is it quick, but it tastes sweet to you, and it starts to take the place of your sweets. And we'll get to recipes in a minute and the art of using a blender. But if you don't have one, go buy one. My favorite, you can pick up at Walmart, has one switch. And it just turns it on or it turns it on the pulse. But the biggest thing to look for is take the container off and look at the underside where it attaches to the engine. And you want one that has a metal rod that goes into a metal, looks like an Allen wrench or a metal hole. If it's plastic and you're grinding up frozen fruit, which you will do, then it's too weak. You need metal against metal to turn where that engine can grind up frozen fruit. All right, so that's what we're going to do. All the fruits and vegetables, we're getting to the details in a minute, but all the fruits and vegetables you want and all the protein shakes you want any time of the day or night. So when you come off the low carb and you feel like binging, you go make a protein shake that tastes like ice cream. And if 30 minutes later you want another one, have at it, and you're still going to lose weight even on the third day. Then after that third day, then you're going to ease into what's going to be your maintenance diet, and we'll get to that in a second. Okay, so let's talk about how to make the perfect protein shake. First of all, you need a protein powder that has about 20 to 30 grams of protein and only 2 to 4 grams of carbohydrates. My preference is whey. I think it kills your appetite better, or egg protein. It's a complete protein. If you're vegetarian, then go for the egg. Or if you don't believe in egg, or whey, then get a soy protein. I don't think soy kills your appetite as much as whey and egg, but you go with what your convictions are. The egg protein, some people have a whey allergy, or they have a whey gives them diarrhea, they have a lactose deficiency, so you get an egg protein. You can buy it online. You can go to my website for recommendations. You can go to health food stores. It's not as commonly sold, but it's out there. And it's a really, really makes a very creamy shake. So that's what you look for, 20 to 30 grams of protein, 2 grams of carbohydrates, up to 4 grams of carbohydrates. Now, here's the basic recipe. You put about a cup or two of water. You put a scoop of protein powder, and you put some fruit. That's it. There's a variations on that theme, though, is the art of it. And the people who get good at this, who really do this a lot, they can make a protein shake with whatever's in the kitchen, sort of like a good cook, and make it taste good enough for a six-year-old to like it. There's an art. I think one of the biggest mistakes, maybe not mistakes, one of the biggest hurdles I've seen my patients face is that some people will get out the blender, they'll dump some fruit and a little powder in there, and the first shake they taste doesn't taste so good, and so then they come back to me and say, you know what, I don't like that protein powder. To me, that's like buying some flour, and the first time you try to make a loaf of bread, it doesn't turn out, and you decide you don't like the oven or you don't like wheat. There really is an art to using a blender, and I want to go into some of that now. I also sell a book on my website that goes into more detail. It was written by a patient of mine. She was an FDA agent before she came to see me, and she lost 77 pounds in 5 months and came off a bunch of medicines. And in the process of doing that, because she's such a good record keeper, she kept up with her recipes that she did and did a little recipe book that she calls How I Lost 77 Pounds in 5 Months Eating as Much as I Want of Everything in This Book. So, and that's what you can do. But just don't give up on the idea. It'd be like giving up on the idea of using an oven or a toaster or a microwave if the first thing that comes out of it doesn't taste good to you. So look at it like a chef and play around with it. So let me give you some tips about how to make something that tastes as good as ice cream, but it's going to help you lose weight. You do not want to use milk if you're in the weight loss phase. When I'm trying to gain strength or muscle, then during my maintenance phase, I will use whole milk or even half and half, but when I'm or even pour olive oil in the thing. So there's lots of different strategies during the weight gain, or if you're trying to gain weight or strength. But when I'm trying to lose fat and maintain muscle mass, it's just water, preferably a good ionized water or bottled water, but it's okay, run it out of the tap if you have decent water where you live. And you want, because you're not adding the extra carbohydrates that come with the milk. Then you put a scoop, you put about a cup of water, and you vary the thickness. You can make this creamy or slushy depending on how much of the frozen fruit or the ice you put in there. Now, at this point, you're saying, you know what, I don't even know if I want to listen to this. So let me re-encourage you again. If you learn how, I'm just seeing you there thinking about this. If you learn how to use the blender, again, this has been proven. There are very few things to be proven to be effective at losing weight. One of them is making meal replacements with a blender. Multiple studies, New England Journal reviewed all the things that have been proven to help lose weight, and it was not a very long list. One of them was making protein shakes with a blender or using meal replacements. So that's what you're doing. You're going to make these shakes and have one for breakfast, and you're going to try to have at least five of them during the day. Well, if you have five shakes during the day, you won't have room for much else. And in every shake, you're going to have at least a cup of fruit. And your goal is to have at least 5 cups of fruit or vegetable, full cups or medium piece of fruit during the third day, and have at least 5 protein shakes during the third day. The fruit can be in the shake, and a lot of times I'll just drink protein shakes all day long on day 3. But if you want to cook some vegetables or cook or prepare a fruit salad or of some kind, that's fine. But you have to have more is better. If you can have as much as you want, but if you don't have at least 5, you're going to get hungry and eat something else. So day 3, you have at least 5 cups of fruit. So a typical day for me might be I wake up, I prepare a protein shake, I put a scoop of powder in it with some water. I like a banana in every shake. It makes it creamier, and bananas have been proven to help suppress your appetite more than the other fruits. I mean, think about it. When you eat a banana, it just kind of feels heavy, and you're only adding 80 calories. Sometimes I'll put 2 bananas in there. You can have more than 1 fruit in there, but I'll always put at least 1 banana. And then I buy bags of frozen fruit, a pound or 5-pound bags, of strawberries, blueberries, mixed berries. Just be careful. Sometimes they'll add sugar to the blueberries. I'm not sure why, but look on the ingredients to make sure there's no added sugar. You can buy frozen berries or get the fresh berries that are in season. And I usually don't measure. I know about a really big handful of fruit is at least a cup. And remember, we're not trying to limit. We're trying to have at least these amounts. 5 shakes and 5 cups of a fruit or vegetable. It could be 5 cups of vegetables or 5 cups of fruit or 2 of vegetables and 3 of fruit. I don't care, but you can have at least 5 cups. Now, here's a couple of exceptions. With salad, it takes 5 cups of salad to equal 1 cup of almost anything else. So that's the size of a chef salad. So if you have a chef salad, you've really just had 1 serving. If you do have salad, and I don't care if you have another salad in your life, people say, I'm tired of salads, people who've dieted a lot. That's fine. Never eat another salad. I'm happy with that. But if you do have a salad, don't think you've had a full serving if you just have a little salad that's a bowl full. It needs to be a large chef salad to be 1 serving, 5 cups. All right. And as far as the dressing goes, remember, I like a little bit of low-cal. Or if it's a really fresh salad, you don't need dressing. It's sort of like a good steak. You don't really need to put a lot on it if it's really nice and fresh and has lots of goodies in it. If it's all wilted lettuce, nothing really makes it taste good. But if you've got some fresh lettuce and fresh cucumber and tomatoes and whatever it is you like in there, and there's lots of it, it's going to taste good with almost nothing on it. Okay, so back to the blender. I know I'm rambling. So back to this blender. You put powder. You can add more powder if you want to make it thicker because you're still not adding many carbohydrates. So you could put 2 scoops of powder if you want. You can add more fruit. You can add more water if you want it to be more liquidy. If you want it to be more creamy, you add less water and you add more protein powder. If you want it to be more slushy, add more frozen fruit and ice, and you can make it more like an icy or a slush. So you can experiment with the consistency. Now, it's not just what you put in it, it's how long you leave it running. So when you turn it on, you'll hear this grinding sort of rough sound, and it starts to sound smooth after a minute. As soon as it sounds smooth, that's usually the best time to turn it off. If you keep whirling it up, you fill it up with air, and it's like you're drinking foam, unless that's what you want. Some people just want it foamy. But so it's about the timing. It's about how long you stir it up. Now, the liquid can be something other than water. It could be, you can take a diet orange drink and put vanilla powder in it. By the way, vanilla mixes with all the fruits better than chocolate. So you can put vanilla powder with a diet orange drink with a little ice, and it tastes like one of those old-fashioned orange push-ups. It's got a really good flavor to it. You can take the chocolate and mix it with coffee and a banana and a little bit of vanilla flavoring, and you have something that tastes sort of like a a mocha. So there's all these different recipes, and there. And again, I recommend that recipe book that's on my website by Natoma, and I'll put a link there on the where you downloaded this recording for more recipes. There's lots of slushy recipes out there. If you go to a place that serves smoothies, like Smoothie King or one of those franchise places, go for the fresh fruit. Ask them to leave out the sugar, and go for the versions that are about 200 to 300 calories max. All right, so that's it. You can have as many of these as you want. Cook all the vegetables you want. No alcohol, no milk, no drinks with calories, only diet drinks. So the drinks stay the same during this whole thing. Just like with the fasting, it's the same on day two and day three, except on day three, you can drink protein shakes. So here's a typical day for me on day three. I'll get up, have a protein shake with at least 2 cups of fruit in it. I'll throw several bananas and some other fruits in a bag. And I keep a blender at my workplace to make shakes. And when I have, when I was an ER doctor, I would bring shakes with me already made in a cooler. And I've had patients that have been, people that have been like, I've had a couple that were labor and delivery nurses. You don't get to take a lunch break if you're a labor and delivery nurse or an ER doctor. You eat between patients when you can. The microwave takes too long. I would literally, I had to learn the hard way, put something in the microwave. Before it was ready, some ambulance would roll in, and 30 minutes later, I come back to look for my food, and a nurse is eating it. So you don't have time for microwaves. You have time to eat and maybe get to go pee, and then you're back at work on a busy day. So this works even busy. If what you do is you make them up ahead of time and keep them in either a cooler or refrigerator at work, or if you have an assistant, when I'm in an office setting, whatever nurse is there helping me, part of her job is to make a protein shake and bring it to me at certain times during the day, so I never have to think about it. I don't want to have to think about it and get hungry. And if I'm with a patient, she just offers one to the patient. It's not really socially acceptable to sit there and eat vegetables from a plate when you're having a meeting with someone. But we seem to tolerate people drinking something. We're used to that happening as you do business or socialize. So she brings one to me and offers one to the patient, and I'm drinking my lunch. I've not taken a lunch hour during a work day and I don't even know when, since I finished medical school. I tried it briefly. I'll take that back. I tried it briefly for about 2 weeks when I first quit the ER and opened up a private practice. And I said, well, this is a waste of time. And so I just drink a protein shake, and I take that extra hour, and I have it to work out at the end of the day. Okay, so a typical day as you get up, you have a protein shake. You bring some fruit with you to work. You have another protein shake that you either make during work, and then in the evening, you could have a vegetable dinner. If you want to go out to eat, it's simple. You go to a restaurant. The better the restaurant, the better the vegetables. You order a vegetable plate. Have as much as you want of as many types of vegetables as you want. Order diet drink or unsweet tea or herbal tea or coffee with Splenda. Splenda is my favorite artificial sweetener and works well with the shakes as well. And then you come home and you have a protein shake for at bedtime. So the shake is always at breakfast, always at bedtime, and 3 more during the day, which takes some planning. But you will not have to worry about hunger, because I'm telling you, you can have any fruit or vegetable anytime you want, as much as you want. If you can have as much of these things as you want, you're not going to be hungry, because as soon as you feel hungry, you get to eat, and you get to eat as much as you want. So if you have a protein shake, I had a patient and friend who lost right at 100 pounds with me, a little over 90 pounds. And he was, in the beginning, having trouble losing weight. And I said, okay, this is what you do. Just try me. Every time you get hungry, drink a shake. And if it's 30 seconds after you drink a shake, drink another one, and then another one. until you're full. So he sat there and drank, I can't remember, 3 or 4 shakes in a row, just back to back to back. And then he was full. This was a big guy. I mean, his calves were as big as my waist. And guess what? He got full. But let's say it was the fourth shake. At 300 calories or so per shake, he'd only had, you know, not that much, had 1,200 calories. But this was a big guy. Most normal people couldn't drink 4 shakes in a row. This is a guy where it would have taken him somewhere around 5,000 calories to maintain his weight, 4,000 at least. And so, and the other thing is, you're not going to escalate. If you have a muffin in the morning, you might have 3, or you might blow the whole day off and have a giant pizza for lunch. But if you have 4 shakes in a row, you're not going to escalate and have 8 shakes an hour from now. So as long as you limit it, as a matter of fact, you're going to have less to eat. So as long as you limit it to these things, even if you sort of binge out, you're not going to binge out on twice as much a little later. All right. Let's talk a little bit about what to do if things go wrong. Because believe me, I don't know anybody that's ever done anything I recommended perfectly. I've never done it perfectly. Now, you'll have days when you do the 3-day thing straight through and everything stays on track. But if you get off track, it's not the end of the world. I mean, this is not a life and death thing in the short run. Now, you don't get your weight under control. It is. But what usually happens is people will try something, and please don't do this. When people are trying to lose weight, they'll try something, and if it doesn't work, they get so discouraged. I mean, sometimes it'll take weeks or months or even a year before they even ever try anything again. The difference between someone who's healthy and someone who's not is not that they don't fail. It's how long it takes them to get back on track. If I eat the wrong thing, I don't wait a month before I get back on track. I get back on track the next minute. So if I eat the wrong thing, if you eat the wrong thing, what you do is you instantly go and you make yourself a protein shake or you have some fruit. Now, your inclination is going to be to spend the rest of the day not eating. Okay, you're trying to do this, you're in day 3 and you wind up munching out on some ice cream. You're going to say, oh, well, I shouldn't eat the rest of the day because I ate the wrong thing. Wrong, because now you're going to be hungry again an hour from now and binge again. So what you do is you get back on track by, even though you ate the ice cream, you still try to do 5 protein shakes and 5 servings of fruits or vegetables that day so that you keep your appetite suppressed and you don't wind up binging on something again before the day's over. Now, again, you can do this day 3 longer than 24 hours. But I recommend at the end of the 3rd day, you go ahead and you come off this plan and you just go to maintenance. And here's what I recommend for maintenance. Keep doing at least 2 protein shakes a day. It'll kill your appetite. Use it as a way to use it either as breakfast or as an appetite suppressant before you're 2 or 3 hours before you're going to have supper. You know, your mother was wrong about one thing. When she used to tell you, don't kill your appetite before supper, that was wrong. Why do you want to be starving and sit down and gorge on supper? Now, it is true you want to have enough appetite to enjoy the meal, but I want your appetite to be controlled when you sit down, not to be ravenous and just gorge on food. It's more about tasting and enjoying the nutrition of it and the art of it. It's not about how much you can cram in your throat. So I want you to kill your appetite. So if you're going to have, even if you're going to have a feast of a gourmet meal, still 3 hours before, you can have a small piece of fruit or a protein shake so that when you get to that meal or that party or whatever it is, it's more about tasting and enjoying than it is about satisfying some crazy hunger. All right. So when you goof up, get back on track immediately. If you want to extend this, you can extend any phase of it, but in the beginning I wouldn't go any phase longer than a day, and I would talk with your physician about going longer on the fasting or the low carb part of it. The other part of it, day three, basically I'm telling you to eat vegetarian and supplement your diet with protein supplements. You can do that as long as you want. There's nothing but health benefits to living in that way. But when you come off of this plan, if you'll continue to have two servings at least of those protein shakes per day, and if you'll continue to have at least five servings of any fruit or vegetable per day, and you will also practice what I told you and the number one weight loss secret, and if you haven't heard that recording, listen to it. It's called The Number One Weight Loss Secret. You'll find it on my website, and it complements what we're teaching here. You need to have it. Without it, you're going to get nothing like the results that you'll get with it. But if you do all those things, then you're going to cut your caloric intake down and be healthier. The average American adult only has one full serving, as in a full cup, of a fruit or vegetable every 3 days. Most Americans live mostly on the calories they get from carbohydrates, from their drinks, and their meat. And they may have a sampling, a spoonful or two here and there, but it takes them 3 days to get a full fruit or vegetable. Most American children, it takes them 5 days to consume a full serving of any fruit or vegetable. That's proven research. So jacking you up to five servings per day for most people is going to be a big increase. But that's what's recommended to prevent heart disease. It lowers cholesterol, blood pressure, helps prevent colon cancer and breast cancer. All proven. So these are all healthy things that you can do the rest of your life. So even though this 3-day fat burn sounds like some crazy crash diet thing, every phase of this is proven by research to be healthy. And this maintenance phase that you're sliding into on the third day, where you're eating lots of fruits and vegetables, of essentially going vegetarian, you could continue from now on and live that way and be much, much healthier because of it. But I'm not asking you to never eat bread or pasta or have a party again. So you do this 3-day plan. If you need to lose weight, do it about once a week and just keep doing it until you get to your best weight, or extend the day 2 and the day 3 and do that for about, Vince Gironda used to say you stay on the low carb for about 3 days, and that's when you start to get really weak. This is what he would recommend in his gym out in Hollywood. And right when your muscles start to get weak, that's when you swap over into the fruits and vegetables and the protein shakes. And then you do that, and then you go back and you do the cycle again. But you can extend that protein shake with fruits and vegetables for a year if you want to, until you get to your best weight. Or you can do the 3-day cycle once a week. If you're at your best weight and you're just trying to maintain and bring off a few pounds every now and then, you can do like I do, which is about once a month. And if I really want to trim down, I might do it once a week. Here's the problem, again, that we talked about in the beginning, that it doesn't take that much. If you just eat an extra 700, 800 calories once per week, and you do that every week, it translates into about a 10-pound weight gain. So it's really almost impossible to watch your diet perfectly. So you schedule these little cycles to make up for the days you eat extra calories. And you also schedule them before a feast. So I went on a cruise, and before I went, when I knew I'd be feasting, I did this little cycle. I extended the low carb for about 2 days, and I did the protein shakes up until I got on the boat for about 3 more days. And I got on the boat all leaned out and a little bit lighter than I normally am. And then I was able to eat very well and got off the boat at my best weight. Or you can schedule this, say, Christmas or Thanksgiving feast is coming. You can schedule this the day after the feast so that you can make up for the extra food that you ate. Okay, here's a couple of other things that people worry about. They'll say, well, what about all these artificial sweeteners? Aren't you hurting people with those? Well, the truth is, if you want to be as healthy as you can be, drink nothing but distilled mineral water, eat a complete vegetarian diet, meditate 2 hours a day, read the scripture for an hour a day, and have nothing but organic foods. But who can live like that? We can all maybe do that occasionally, but most people don't want to be the health spiritual guru of the century. We just want to be healthy. And what I've found is that if I ask people to be so healthy, they're giving up so much art, they're giving up this and this and this. It's just not comfortable. Now, after you do this for a while, you may want to take it to a higher level. And I have spent a week of fasting in the mountains and meditating and doing things that are too crazy to talk about in this venue. But they weren't crazy. They were helpful. But it's too much for most people to start off with, and it's too much for me to do every day. So you don't start there. You start where you are, and you're not going to do this, most people, if it doesn't taste good. Most of us are not Jack-O-Lane that spit out things that taste good. We want them to be pleasant. So, and the damage from having Splenda is much, much less than the damage from being overweight. Just 20 pounds of extra weight gives you more risk for breast cancer than taking Premarin, which has been proven to help increase your risk of breast cancer. So, not to mention the stroke and the heart attack. I'm not going to start preaching. You know being overweight is bad for you. What I'm telling you is much worse for you than having an artificial sweetener. And if that's what it takes to have you lose weight, I would say have the artificial sweetener. Now, on the other hand, I have noticed when people start to cut the diet drinks out, they seem to crave sweets less and do better. So just do the best you can with that, but know that your weight's more important to remove than artificial sweeteners are to remove. Just a couple of more things. One is travel. What do you do when you travel? That's a difficult one, but it can be handled. And basically, it involves just filling your environment up with good things. Here's a truth that you can just write on the wall. If it's in your house, you're going to eventually eat it. If it's there, you will eat it. Here's another truth. If it's not in your house, you won't eat it. So clean up your environment. You know, there's a prayer that says, "Lead us not into temptation." It doesn't say help me resist temptation. It says lead us not into temptation. So we're taught not to try to be strong in front of things that are bad for us. We're taught to try to avoid even having to look at the things that are bad for us. So get them out of your house. It's okay. Waste it. Throw it away. Don't give it to the neighbor so that you make them fat. Just throw it away. And another little trick, if your family's not in cooperation, is that, you know, if someone brings something home that's not so good, it's probably time for what I call an enrolling conversation. You sit down and you say, I love you. I know you love me. I'm trying to be healthy. Would you consider either not bringing this in the house or at least hiding it from me and not eating it in front of me? If they have a problem with that, as some of the families of my patients have had, then that tells you something, I suppose. But I have found that when you start to lose weight, you're not going to always be supportive. I've seen husbands get jealous and try to sabotage. Best friends that are overweight will start to feel like you're going to desert you, but they won't tell you that. What they'll try to do is sabotage your diet. When people try to get better, it's the old analogy of all the crabs in the bucket. When one tries to climb out of the bucket, all the other crabs grab it and try to pull it back down. So though you may think everybody's going to support you in being healthier, I promise you they will not. And even without meaning to, the people who love you the most will sidetrack you. So when that happens, expect it. From the one hand, so you don't get blindsided, but you'll still be blindsided. And when it happens, stop, think about what's really going on, and what's really going on is this person's afraid. afraid that you're going to get so beautiful or healthy that you won't want them. And so stopping and assuring them. And I've also, even though I've seen many women come and cry, and some of them even eventually leave their husbands because the husband was so detrimental to their health, I've also found that most women are really in charge of the health in their family. And when the woman starts to clean up the kitchen and cook in a healthier way, then without even trying, the rest of the family gets healthy. I will not even treat a teenager for weight loss until I meet the parents, or at least the mother, and know that she is either of normal weight or willing to also enroll and let me help her lose weight. Because as the mother goes, so goes the children, as far as their health goes. And it's really such an important role that most women are aware of, but they don't. Some are not as aware. They'll come in overweight and ask me how to take care of their overweight daughter. And then I just tell them it's impossible until I take care of them. So back to you, wherever you are, work or home, know that you're going to be sabotaged. Now, I don't, during the fasting part of this, I don't just walk in the room and say, I'm fasting today. I try to plan it at a time where I'm not fasting on the day that my mother's prepared some holiday feast. And I don't, if I do happen, sometimes I'll just forget and eat. But you want to try to plan around other people. But then if something comes up, even though some spiritual leaders have said it's better if you don't tell people you're fasting, I found that sometimes you just have to say it. So, but not make a big deal out of it. I'll say something like, well, I'm going to eat later. But if they keep insisting, I'll just say, you know, I'm not eating today. I'm fasting. And usually they'll drop it. But expect that to happen. Now, it's not just cleaning up your diet. The other thing I'll do is if someone brings something home that's not healthy, I'll let it stay there for a while. I'll even buy things occasionally. I want my kids to not be just brought up in some so strict environment. I'll bring ice cream, pizzas, whatever home, but they don't stay there long. I bring enough home for a day or a meal or after some holiday when there's junk food in the house. I'll let it stay for a few days and then it goes. So usually it's gone anyway with three teenage boys, but if there's leftovers, then there's no use to always have it in your house. So, but if you're in a phase where you need to lose a lot of weight, you might need to have a perfectly clean environment until you get to that best weight and you have these routines and these practices down. There's a lot more on my website about losing weight, and there's a lot more about these principles of health that I'm talking about. I call it the law of health. You can go and buy that at my website, and you'll get a lesson a day for about 10 weeks. There's some laws that I think, and one of them is that you do have to fight for your health. And knowing that and knowing how to do that is important, or else you will be sidetracked. It's the law of entropy. If you don't clean your house, it keeps getting dirtier. If you don't do things to make things better, the dirt will just rise away. It's a sense of health. It takes energy to lose being healthy. And also constant resistance. Everybody I ever loved in my life, at one point or another, has wanted me to do something else, so it was time to go exercise. Now, I'm not so strict that I'll go exercise during my son's high school graduation or something like that. I plan around, and it's not like everything has to be perfectly in order every day. On the other hand, you don't let the more important go for the lesser important. So when my children were young, the rule was when it was time for me to exercise or go to the YMCA, they were not allowed to even complain about it because I knew that I loved them so much that it would sidetrack me and I'd wind up doing something else. So they would go with me, and they weren't even allowed to complain. And when I was working out, they weren't allowed to speak to me unless they were bleeding from an injury. There was a place there where they could shoot basketball while I trained, and that's what they did. So I'm rambling, but the main point of this is that if you do this, every little part of it is easy. How hard is it to eat a banana? How hard is it to make a protein shake and drink it? There's no hard part to this. But on the other hand, it's very hard because you will be at work or you'll be traveling or you'll be sitting there when your daughter dips a giant bowl of ice cream. So you want to always stay ahead of your hunger. Always have something close by that you can eat, that you're either eating or have it available that you can eat it. Fill up your environment with your favorite fruits and vegetables, your favorite water. Learn how to make a good protein shake. Go get Natoma's book on my website about how she lost 77 pounds. Shoot me emails. Listen to my teleconferences. Read my newsletters. And make it a priority to take care of your body. And I think that thinking about your body as a tool, you're not being selfish. You can't be a good lover, a good mother, a good husband, a good worker, a good father if you're not healthy and feeling good. You can, but not as good as if you have good health, good mental and physical health. So this is as important as washing your car or sweeping your house or doing anything to take care of anything that you own. People know that, but then they'll feel guilty about taking care of themselves or putting their family out. You cannot take care of yourself if you can't take care of your family as well if you are not healthy. So even as a child, my children could understand when I would say, "I'm sorry, but you get me 23 hours a day, but 1 hour belongs to me to take care of myself, to make myself healthy, to help me stay mentally stable." And I think everybody needs an hour to claim. Claim an hour. It can be the first hour you wake up, can be the first hour after you get home from work, and you need to be able to claim what you're going to eat. I mean, think about it. How we let people decide what will go in our mouths. Just because somebody made a new fancy cake does not mean you have to put it in your mouth. You get to make the rules about what goes in your mouth on what day of the week. And I think that's probably a good place to stop. I'm honored that you bought my program about the 3-day fat burn. If you practice this even once a month, I think it will change your life. If you get some of the materials that I've described to you and that are on my website, I think it will change your life even more on a physical, a mental, and a spiritual way in ways that you may not have ever even thought about. So contact me, let me know how it goes, and thank you again for listening.